find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to a thrilling Thursday right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I welcome you today to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. We'd love to invite you out to our church service this coming Sunday morning. 10:30 of a morning is when our worship service starts. 9:30 of a morning is when our Sunday school starts. 8:30 is when intercessory prayer begins. And so we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. There, if you show up at Sunday night this coming week, you won't find us there, because we're going to be gathering with some of our brothers and sisters from across the country and around the globe, worshiping the Lord. We got a great big wonderful service that is going to be taking place over at the Orange County Convention Center. And so we're going to be heading over there for that. That begins, I believe, at 5 o'clock of an evening. So we're going to be heading over there about 3:30 or so, maybe a little earlier, because it's a walk. So we'll probably head over there more like 3:15 or so. But we're really looking forward to God doing some great things, celebrating churches being planted, souls being saved, missionaries being commissioned. It's going to be a great time, and there's been outreach that's going on. We have a ministry called Convoy of Hope that tends to show up wherever natural disasters occur around the globe, and they help meet some of the immediate needs whenever a crisis happens, such as the wildfires out in California's, hurricanes hitting Puerto Rico, earthquakes hitting Mexico, you name it. And Convoy of Hope is one of the first people on the ground. If there's a projection that a storm is coming, they will pre-stage to be ready to be on hand. And so this week they have been ministering, over in the Orlando area. They will be ministering. I think they're anticipating feeding 10 or 15,000 people down around the Tinker Field area. And, I'm not that familiar with Orlando geography to be able to tell you exactly where that's at. But young people are in town as they learn to utilize their gifts for the glory of the Lord in song, in sermons, in human arts. My daughter, when she was in high school, competed at National Fine Arts. And back in those days, it was in Louisville, Kentucky. And We still have that work of art that she made. It's absolutely gorgeous. So we're very thankful for what God is doing. Hopefully you will come out and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. I want to take you back to Malachi chapter 1 today. Malachi chapter 1. I know I got Malachi here someplace. Malachi chapter 1. And today we're going to begin reading at verse number 9. Again, we're going to read through verse number 14. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow and sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. So verse number 6, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us while this is being done to your by your hands, will he accept you favorably? We need to recognize that there is a direct correlation between our lifestyle, our worship, our behavior, and how God's favor and his blessings get poured out in our life. And I will tell you this, my blessing can't be stolen by you. Your blessing can't be stolen by me. God has blessings set aside just for you. And so for the person that is dealing with God with integrity and obedience, there's going to be one manifestation. But to the faithful, God shows himself faithful. So he goes on here, and I want to drop down to verse number 11. It says, "For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." What you are hearing right there is God expressing his will, that his name is going to, his name will be great. It's not a matter of if it's going to be great. His name will be great among the Gentiles. And you've got to realize that that word Gentile means anybody that wasn't Jewish. This was written to the Jewish people, but he said, I've got news for you. However you choose to act, my name is going to be great. It is going to manifest. It is going to be appreciated. It is going to be honored among the Gentiles. He says, "For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." If you drop down to the very end of chapter 1, you will see, it's in verse number 14, God says, "For I am a great king." For I am a great king. You know, if God was very insecure, if his identity was being determined by what other people had to say about him, God would be probably wringing his hands, having an identity crisis. Because people are marginalizing him in society. They're kicking him to the curb. They dishonor him. They see no value in him. They use his name as profanity on a regular basis. And God says, in spite of how people treat me, in spite of the fact that the nations of the world will rise up in war against me, it does not change the reality that I am a great king. Sometimes you don't appreciate the greatness of God until you live under the whip of the taskmaster. When Malachi ends, historians tell us that there's a 450-year period. 450 years. That's a long, long time that there is no recorded divine communication from God. It does not mean that God was not speaking. God says that there would come a time when there would be a famine of hearing God's word, not a famine of God speaking his word. And so there's this tremendous dark period. There's this tremendous lack of appreciation for God's leadership in society. And all of that changes. All of that changes. God is a great king. All you've got to do is look and see how many times that a death sentence has been pronounced about God, that God is dead. That there was a time when someone said within 100 years, the thought of God is not going to be known anymore. And 100 years later, God was still around. And hardly anybody remembers that person anymore. We need to realize God is without flaw. God's power is unlimited. I was trying to say limitless and got all tang-tangled there. So here we are. We need to realize that God is not suffering from a wisdom insufficiency. God is great. He is not void of compassion. He is full of compassion and full of tender mercies. God says, if you want to live in a kingdom that is great, you need to come and be a part of my kingdom, for I am a great king. And he goes on and he says, and my name is going to be feared. It's going to be reverenced. It is going to be, it doesn't mean that, that God wants people living terrorized of him. They want, God wants us to revere him, to live in awe of him, to realize what a blessing it is. You know, you can have the best spouse in the world, but if you just don't appreciate them, if you don't hold that relationship in awe, you can lose one of the greatest blessings that ever happened in your life. I encourage you, don't let that happen to your home, and don't let that happen with your kids, and don't let that happen with your relationship with God. But this is a message on thou shalt not steal. So let's go back in verse number 12, and it says, but you profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? So I want to tell you here that people have a tendency to want to give to God stolen as well as inferior gifts. God deserves our best. God deserves our best. And so I'm really excited about what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. We are blessed to be a blessing, but we also need to bless God with our very best. And so one of the discussions that we had had recently was the fact that there are people who are maturing in their faith. We have a person that's going to be baptized here in a couple of weeks. We're excited about that. We've added some new members this year, and had some that transferred out, and some that transferred to heaven. But I get really excited when there are people who say, you know what? I want to grow in my relationship with, and so there are some people who have stepped out in faith and said, you know what, I'm not going to offer God my leftovers anymore. I'm going to offer him my very best. It's not going to be a despicable act to me. There are some people who look at the privilege to give as a despisable act, a despicable act. It's worship. It's worship. So let me tell you about our offerings at Merit Assembly of God. We once a month we take up a BGMC offering, a Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. The reason that we do that is because we want to teach our kids at a very early age to be givers, that they are not to be self-centered, but that they're supposed to be participants in the Great Commission of taking the gospel into all the world. So we look at it twofold. It is an act of discipleship for our kids, as well as being a blessing for the community. So that's once a month. If we have a missionary that comes through, which normally we have one a month during this season with General Council, where missionaries are coming in from all over the world, we have like three over the course of about 6 weeks. Phenomenal, phenomenal missionaries that have been coming. So we've got a person coming on Sunday morning, the end of August, that is going to be absolutely fantastic. A dear friend of mine, doing a great work around the globe, and I can't give you details about that, but all I can tell you is that he's got a great heart to give. So we take up offerings for missionaries. We have one fundraiser a year, and that is when we raise funds to send kids to camp. Outside of that, we have one offering a week where we bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse. We'll talk about that more on tomorrow's program. And God is causing our finances to increase, which enables us to continue to stay on the air as far as this radio ministry goes. It enables us to continue to do the upgrades, the facelifts to the facilities that need to take place, because we don't owe anybody any money. We don't want to owe anybody any money. We want to operate with the freedom that God has given. Listen, as this world becomes more and more hostile towards people of biblical faith, we want to be able to have the freedom to say, you know what, we're still going to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we view that as a blessing from God. But I've got some people who are growing, and some people who went from one level of understanding to a different level of understanding, and that they are not just giving to God, they are giving their first and they are giving their best. And they've said, as a result of making that one small change in their giving, it didn't change the dollar amount any. It just changed as far as a priority structure that God had blessed them in ways that they didn't expect. You know, I went through that when I first came to Florida. I made a transition from the way that I was operating with some of my giving in Texas to the way that it was expected that I would give here in Florida. And I found that just by making a small adjustment, there was financial blessing that came into my life as a result of it. God does not want what you've stolen from somebody else. God wants the very best of what he has brought production into your life. God gives you the ability to produce wealth. Listen, if you want a job right now, there are all sorts of jobs that are out there. It might not be the job that you want, but it may be a job that will provide you for your needs until the job that you want opens up. I never dreamed when I was in Bible college that I was going to be dusting RVs out of a gravel parking lot in Oklahoma in 100 degree heat. But I did that for a while. I never dreamed that I would be I didn't think that I went to Bible college so I could deliver flowers, but I delivered flowers for a while. I didn't think that I was going to be selling shoes for 11 years of my life, but I did that. I didn't think that I would be operating, that I was going to Bible college so that I could sell items at a flea market, but that's what I did to provide for my family. But all of those things were steps that God utilized to position me where I needed to be. And every step along the way, I gave God the very best that I had to offer. Let's not look at giving as a weariness. That's what it says in verse number 13. Oh, what a weariness. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. And should I accept this from your hands? There is a mindset that people have in our society that says, oh, well, God will just take whatever I offer to him. And I will tell you, you don't find that in the history with Cain and Abel. Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was rejected. You don't find it here in Malachi. And it's not going to be received the same way that you think it's going to be received just because you offer it to God. Well, here, let's throw a few things into the, God wants it to be by faith. Give by faith. Give as an act of worship, and you will find that it is going to be a much, much better way of doing life. Let me go ahead and take you over to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to start over there. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. God is looking to bring us from that place of inadequate or insufficient giving, undesirable giving, to a place that we can worship God with an offering of righteousness. He describes that he is going to send a messenger who will prepare the way. You can see that this is a reference to John the Baptist, who is coming, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming. Okay. Every time we celebrate communion, it is not just a ritual. It is a reminder that he is coming again. It is a reminder of what he has done. It is a reminder that he is still with us, and it is a reminder that he is coming again. It goes on and it says that in order for this transition from being a person who has offered stolen and damaged goods to God, that to be a person who worships in righteousness, that it says he's going to come like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap, and he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And it talks about that he will purify people. Specifically, he was going to purify the priest. And it says, and purge them as gold and silver, that they might fulfill the purpose, offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. I have done some reading on the refining process, and the refining process would be heating up an element to a certain degree, and then the impurities would rise to the surface, and then they would skim that off, and then they would heat it up again, and then they would skim off the impurities again. And I have been told that the way that they knew that they had finally achieved the desirable level of purity was when the refiner could look at the object being refined, the gold or the silver, and when he could look at that and he could see his own reflection in the gold or in the silver, he knew that he had reached the level of purification that he desired. Have you given any thought to the fact that the reason that God purifies our life and refines our life, and sometimes it seems like we are going through the fire, is because he knows that he has deposited his image inside of us, and the pollutants of this world, the works of the flesh, mar the beauty that God knows that he has placed inside of us. And this purification, this refining process, is not punishment, but it is his great compassion for us that causes him to daily work on us. and the Holy Spirit comes and he wanders through our hearts with intentional pursuit of bringing out of us those things that we are unaware are hiding inside, because he knows that they will damage us. A person that I know went through something here recently and began to look back through some old pictures and didn't realize that in those pictures there was evidence that there was something that wasn't right that was becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much. He doesn't want those problems to magnify. He wants that beautiful, forgiven spirit that he has placed inside of us to come shining forth like true gold. That personality of compassion, that lifestyle of mercy, the grace of giving, he knows that that is inside of you. You see, I am a tremendous believer in potential. A lot of people want to look at something and say, oh, wow, this is perfect in every way. I'm the type of person that I want to look at it and say, you know what? This might not be looking like much right now, but I think I see beauty in this that nobody else is going to see. And it might take a day. It might take a week. It might take a year, a decade, 2 decades, or 3 decades. But don't ever get impatient with God when he is refining you, because he wants to bring you to that place that you are not offering him damaged goods or stolen goods, that your worship is not going to be rejected by him. But instead, he wants to bring us to that place where we have been refined so that we can offer him the righteous worship that he so richly deserves. You know, and I will tell you, the process can be painful, but the outcome will be worth it. I pray that you have an absolutely incredible, marvelous, and purposeful day today, and that the blessings of God overtake you, and you're coming in and you're going out, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you. God bless you. You have a great day. We will catch you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There's been a change in this man's life. Everything I was doing wrong, I start over doing right. All my friends say, when they see me, they say, man, you sure look different. You ain't like you used to be. I can't take no credit. It's got nothing.